You know, it's hard to be a father these days. It's difficult. Father's not just a male who helps to make a baby. A father is a man who takes the responsibility for the life of his offspring. To be a father is to be someone who is not only a provider, but a teacher, a counselor, a role model, a listener, an encourager, someone you can count on to always love and accept you, someone who will offer discipline and wisdom, and someone who will guard you from dangers, whether they're physical, mental, or spiritual, all through your life. That's why the Bible teaches us to honor our fathers. And that's why Jesus, referring to Almighty God, called him Abba, Father, Daddy, because he is the one who does all of those things. None of us measure up to that. But we try. And it's hard in this culture because fathers are ridiculed quite often on television and motion pictures, where either the silly old fool who just simply doesn't get it, or where the tyrant who abuses his family physically, mentally, spiritually, abandons them for someone else. Fathers are never portrayed as they were in my day in television shows like Father Knows Best. I would be laughed at instead of laughed with today. And the unfortunate truth is that too often those portrayals have some truth in them. A father's love for his children is spelled T-I-M-E. Time. Time to play. Time to watch. Time to share. Time to teach. Time to cheer you up when seems like your teachers and your coaches don't understand you, and time to cheer you up when your best friends look at you and don't like what you're wearing. Time to encourage you when your grades are less than you would hope, and to encourage you to reach for your dreams. The average father today spends 13 minutes a week listening to his child. 13 minutes. We had a young man who came here, I believe, by God's leading hand, from the high school just across the way. It was a young man who was Hispanic, and he came and he walked into our gym and he said, "Why do you do this?" And Elton was standing there, and he said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Well, we have a recreation center right here at the high school. Why do you open up and do these things for us?" And Elton said, "Do they love you over there?" And the young man said, "What?" He said, "Do they love you over there?" "Because we love you here." Young man began to weep, and it turned out that he was 16 years old and no one had ever told him that they loved him. Nobody. Not his father, not his mother, not his aunts, uncles, no one. And he would come back every week for a hug. He didn't stop to play basketball. Basketball wasn't his game. He didn't come on Wednesday nights much. He didn't engage in the things that we did here, but he came to receive the love that was offered. The child watches and pays attention to what you do more than what you say. They want their 13 minutes a week. And if you spend all of your time pursuing your own thing, whether it's fishing or golf or watching television or whatever, they watch you. And if you spend more than 13 minutes a day with something, they know you may love it more than you love them. It's difficult because that's the average in America. 13 minutes a week. That means some spend no time at all listening to their children. Today I want you to listen to the voices of your children. I want you to hear them. They're asking you for part of yourself. They're asking you to be for them what they desperately need you to be. Someone who loves them unconditionally. Let us go before the Lord. Dear Holy Heavenly Father, as we come today, we are touched by the sense of awe and majesty of your love for us. That you would sacrifice so much so that we could be reconciled to you. We thank you for the daily times that we notice how much a dad has meant in our own lives here on earth. It is true that some of us did not have a good relationship with that dad, but you used him to bring us into this world, to take care of us, to be with us. But he can never substitute for you, Father. For you are the Father to the fatherless. You are the one who loves us unconditionally and without reservation. You are the one that cares for us when no one else, including our earthly dad, seemed to care. You're the one that puts us in the palm of your hand and protects and keeps us. It is more than any other. More than anything else on earth, we seek you, Father. For you are the one who we want to please. You are the one that sets a standard for each of us to follow. Father, as we come into your presence, we ask that your Holy Spirit might settle upon the room and there be no one here who leaves this place without having forgiven their earthly dads for all their shortcomings. That no one leaves this room that is a dad who doesn't come to you and confess those shortcomings. That there's no one here who leaves this room without knowing you, the true Father of us all. And so we say, Abba, Daddy. May everything we do and everything we say please you this day. As we take up the offering, may we return to you those things which you have so abundantly given to each of us, that we might worship you in spirit and in truth. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. If you would turn with me to Luke, it is a story that you know very well in Luke chapter 15. It is the story of the prodigal son. But today I want you to read it with open eyes and open hearts, that you would understand that God lays out in these verses five main principles for being a father that is pleasing in His eyes. We'll start with verse 11, and we'll read to verse 32. And then he said, a certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So the father divided them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and journeyed to a far country. and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he set him into the fields to feed swine. And he was gladly filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to spare, and I perish from hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to the servants, 'Bring out the best robe and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. And bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this is my son, was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to be merry. Now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, 'Your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf.' But he was angry and would not go in. Therefore his father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his father, 'Lo, these many years I have been serving you. I have never transgressed your commandment at any time. And yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours comes, he has devoured your livelihood with harlots. You killed the fatted calf for him.' And he said to him, 'Son, you are always with me, and have all that I have is yours. It is right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again, was lost and is found.'" The first principle that we learn in these scriptures is that your life is important. You know, sometimes fathers don't think that God really values you, but God does. God has a plan for every father. He has a plan for you, and unless you take care of yourself, you won't be able to take care of others. You know, fathers will go about doing things and say, as my dad did, "Don't do as I do, do as I say do." You've probably heard a father or grandfather say such things to you while they smoked a cigarette or drank themselves into oblivion or did other things that were abusive to their own bodies. But God has a place and time for you. He has a purpose for your life. Your life is important to God. If you are not taking care of yourself, you cannot hope to take care of others. How often have I, as a chaplain, gone to a place where a father has died very young at age? He has left his children to bury him, and quite often with no allowances made for that burial. He hasn't even written a will. He hasn't taken care of his children or his wife. These things happen. Too often they happen in our culture. God has blessed you with the opportunity to nurture another life. Nurture means to love them and to give them the things that they need, not always the things that they want. Nurture means to love them unconditionally. God has entrusted you with a special life, a life that He has brought about, that He has a plan for as well. To bring your children to the cross of Christ and therefore to eternal life is greater than just simply bringing them into the world. Bringing them into the world is the beginning of your responsibilities, not the end. You're so important that studies have shown that with the presence of a dad in the home makes all the difference in the world. A dad in the home. You wouldn't think that it would make such a significant difference, but it does. In our own country, children who have a dad present in the home, even if he's not a good dad, if he's a dad that comes in falling down drunk every Friday night, that's not a good provider, that's not a good man in any way, his simple presence in the home makes it less likely that the children will get involved with illegal drugs, less likely that they'll drop out of school, less likely that they'll have children out of wedlock, less likely that they will have diseases that are connected with sin. And a matter of fact, the presence of a dad in the household means that kids will grow up, according to all the studies, healthier and happier than if he's not there. Your simple presence in the house is a blessing from God. You know, the Bible is always true. We have here the story of a young man who took everything that was his inheritance with him. He left his own country because no one in the country would have honored him for what he did. Because he not only broke his father's heart, he broke all of the tribal and customs of his country by doing what he did. And so he traveled to a different country where they wouldn't know and wouldn't blame him for doing what he did. But the Bible says that if you raise up a child in the way he should go, then his old age he would return to it. That is a promise of the Bible. And that is what happens when this young man comes to a right mind. He comes back to the teachings of his father. And he learns that his father loves life and treasures life so much that the life of his servants is important to him. And he blesses those who are his servants. Men, if you are in a position to have people working for you, you need to be a blessing for them. When I was in the secular world, I would get up every morning and pray a blessing upon the company that I was vice president or president of. That God would give to us the abundance that would flow through us into the hands that needed that blessing. I always knew that those who worked for me were more important than anyone else. Their lives, their children's lives. I remember on one occasion, I was vice president of the company and the president of our company was in a presidential suite in Paris, France. And we were bidding on a job there for Disney Europe. And he was there and he called me just before Christmas and he told me to didn't tell me directly because he knew better than to do that. So he called the secretary in our home office in Houston and had her relate the message to me to fire one of the people, to lay off one of the people that we had working for us. But I knew that this man, who later went to work for Brockett, Davis & Drake Engineering Company, I knew that this young man had a wife, kids, and that he had just bought a bicycle, and I just could not for that child, and I couldn't bring myself to lay him off just before Christmas. So I sent word back to Paris, France, that I would quit instead. He didn't like that very much. I didn't do it because I was trying to gain his approval. There comes a time when people working for you have need of you, just as your children. Part of what we see happening here is that the father loved and honored those who worked for him. And the son knew it. The son knew his father's mind. In verse 17, but when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger. First thing to remember is that a father needs to stress into his children's life how important life is. Life is sacred. Unless the father treats it that way, the child will never understand it. Verse 21. And the son said to the father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and am no longer worthy to be called your son. The second principle that God gives to us is that a man will leave his work to look after the priorities of his children. You see, the father was waiting for him. He saw him afar off. He didn't say, well, I'm busy now, but when he gets here, I'll deal with that. He was looking for the interest of the child. Each of us who are husbands and fathers and young men need to understand that God teaches us to look out for the children more than we look out for ourselves. That we're to lay our lives down for them. That we're to take the things that are important to us and put them away so that we can be the godly man that we're supposed to be. This man showed his love by giving his time. He treasured his son more than the things of his field. Third, a father teaches by example. Look at verse 22. But the father said to the servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. You know, you can tell a child that you love them, but until you open your heart and home to them, until you say, you can always have a place here. There's always a place with me. If I have nothing, I'll share it with you. Unless a father will demonstrate that, unless he's willing to sacrifice something of his own so his child can have something that they care for, he won't be the kind of man that God has raised you to be. A father displays grace and forgiveness and love in tangible ways. Our children learn by what we do. What are we doing to earn their love? What are we doing to show them what a Christian man should be? You know, it's easy to blame the fact that our churches are in decline on the fact that our youth are running around and pay no attention to what God really wants from their life. We can blame the kids, but the blame is not the kids. It's ours for not standing up and showing them how important it is to have a right relationship with God. Fourth, watch for the good in your child's life. Look at verses 25. And now the older son was in the field, and he came and drew near to the house, and he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what these things meant. And he said to him, your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf. But the brother was angry and would not go in, and therefore his father came out and pleaded with him. I want you to think about that for a moment. The father could have said, well, you're just acting like the youngest son acted. The youngest son took all the stuff that was his inheritance and left me. And now you are doing the same thing. You're mad at me. You're denying my right. You're denying the things that I do. You're coming up against me the same way. He doesn't do that. He goes to the child and tells him that he loves him, and that everything he has is his. Sometimes we don't look for the good in kids. Sometimes we have what we speak, as the Bible says. We say that this kid's no good, and it turns out, no good. We tell the child that the child can be and should be, and tell him what he really is to us, the most precious thing we have. It doesn't matter if a child is 4 or 40. Words of encouragement and blessing from the father are always treasured moments. It's our responsibility to pass on the love of God, to look out for the good in life. You know, if our Father in heaven looked at us and kept a list, a checklist of all the things we did bad, listen, I couldn't stand up here. I couldn't crawl up here. I'd be buried so deep in the carpet that you couldn't see me. But he's not like that, is he? He's constantly urging us on by telling us we can, by telling us we're his kids, and nothing in the world is impossible for us because we're his. He's telling us that he loves us when everybody else turns their back on us. He's telling us that he cares for us when all the circumstances in our life say that it's not. Fifth, a good time to laugh and celebrate is whenever you get the chance. Verse 32, it was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again, was lost and is found. You don't know how long you'll have your children. There are people in this room who've lost children. That's an unmeasurable pain to lose a child, to lose a child that you wanted to see grow old, a child you expected to bury you, not the other way around. To lose a child because a child just leaves you like the prodigal. It seems like they'll never come home. There are reasons to be glad in the moment. If the child is left, he's a prodigal, you can hold on to the faith that is in the Bible, that in their old age they'll return to the faith and you'll see them in heaven. You can hold on to that. You should hold on to that. You should rejoice in that and be glad and be merry. You need to be merry. You need to carpe diem, seize the day. You need to reach out and seize this moment to see how blessed you truly are. The greatest gift a father can give their children is the joy of the Lord. Faith expressed in church and times and meetings like this is a real downer to a lot of these kids. They're sitting here right now looking at their watches and looking at other things and not listening. I can see them. They don't realize that. I can see you. I can watch you talking to each other. I can see you. And I know that some of you are here because you wouldn't be here if your parents hadn't dragged you here. It's not your fault. You just don't understand. If I could impart to the kids in this room one thing, it is this. That someone else is watching you, not the pastor, but Almighty God. And He is your Father, and He's the one that cares for you. And He's the one you should come home to see every time the doors are open. But some kids feel as though they're just force-fed. That's because the parents turn around and feed the kids a lot of junk food. You know, I will admit that there were many Sundays when my kids got the wrong impression, I'm sure, because my wife and I would drive away from the church we were attending and we'd have roast pastor for lunch as an appetizer. And the kids are sitting in the back and just kind of swallow all of that in. God has a sense of humor when He made me a preacher. They were sitting there timing my prayers. Apostle Paul instructs fathers on what you're to do in Ephesians 6, verse 4. He says, "And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." The father's role changes as the children grow. It changes. But whether they're an infant or they're old of age, they still look to their dad. It's never too late to mend a broken fence. It's never too late to mend a broken relationship with your child. Today I want you to do something. I want you to do something tangible. I want you to give your wife and children words and deeds of appreciation. I'll write them a note or call them on the phone to bless them, to pray for them. Because you owe everything to them. If it wasn't for them, you wouldn't even be a dad. You wouldn't be getting a present today. You wouldn't even be able to come and celebrate. Today, it may be that you've never known a father's love. You've never known a real dad's love. I had an up-and-down relationship with my own father. There were things that I could remember which are very negative, because as my mother started dying of cancer. My father couldn't take it, and he began to drink, and he was a mean drunk. And he and I got into some physical confrontations. My sisters only remember those times. But I also remember the time when my father would watch over me, when he trained me to fish and shoot a gun, when he was with me, throwing me the baseball and coming to my games. I remember the good times. I choose to do that because he died in my arms, having said that he loved my mother more than any man ever loved a woman, that he had been to two county fairs and a goat roping, and if the good Lord was ready to take him, he was ready to go. Those were his last words as I held him in my arms and he died. Last words from a father can mean everything. Telling your daughter that she doesn't look good in pants, telling someone something negative is just a reinforcement. Today, look for the good. Say something positive. The Lord God is not like your earthly dad. He does have time for you. He has all of eternity. He will listen to you. He cares about you. You may not know Him. You may not know that kind of a father's love. The father you had may have been horrible. He may have abused you. He may have done terrible things to you. But there is a true Father. Father God, who loves you all the time. Who loves you with all the things that you do wrong. Yesterday we were painting the house. I said to all the kids who came, and not all of our kids did come, but the ones who came, I said, "Don't you get any paint on yourselves, because I don't want to face your mothers." One kid didn't get a drop of paint on himself. He had on a white t-shirt and we had brown paint. Didn't get a drop of, not one drop of paint. And then at the end he had people put their handprints all over him. I went across the garage sale. I said, "You tell this kid's mother I did not do this." But I loved him because he had spent a hot, hot afternoon working for someone else, doing something else. And our Father God loves us no matter what we've done. He cares for us. He's waiting for us. He's watching for us to come home. He is right now. And He wants you to be raised up in a very tangible way. He wants you to know that you are His true child. If you're ready to come to your right mind. And Jesus is waiting to carry you home in His own loving arms. He promises that He will in no way cast you out. We give an invitation because the Father we honor the most is honored the most when you respond to Him. Today we're going to give an invitation. If any of the dads feel like you need to rededicate your life, you can just come and just pray right up here in the front. If there's someone here who's never known what it means to have a true, loving, sacrificial, loving Father, this is a time for you to come and receive Him in your life. If there's someone here who wants to rededicate their life because they know they haven't been living correctly, this is your opportunity as well. We give the invitation to a Father's love today. Will you bow with me and pray? Dear Holy Heavenly Father, as we come before You today, we know that You want nothing less than to us to come before You, to walk an aisle, to publicly profess You, to receive You as our Lord and King. Father, we pray that this day someone will make the decision to do what You have called them to do, to come to faith in Christ so that You may be their Father and wash away all the hurts their earthly dad's ever done, so that You may show what true Father's love is. There may be some who need to come and rededicate their lives, some who need to come and join the church. Father, we know that You are waiting and watching, that Your arms are open wide. And we come to you this moment asking you to receive all who come, to receive all who come and slay the fatted calf and rejoice here and in heaven because they were lost and are found. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand for the invitation?
Take up thy cross and follow me. I heard my master say, I gave my life to ransom thee. Surrender your all today. Wherever he leads, I'll go. Wherever he leads, I'll go. I'll follow my Christ who loves me so. Wherever he leads, I'll go. He drew me closer to his side. I sought his will to know, and in that will I now abide. Wherever he leads, I'll go. Wherever he leads, I'll go. Wherever he leads, I'll go. I'll follow my Christ who loves me so. Wherever he leads, I'll go.